I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello. Happy Friday. We made it, everyone.
We did. Feels like a marathon that we just ran across the finish line. We did that, honey.
You know, it was an intense week. It was a week of a lot of highs and a lot of lows, a lot of reminders of the fragility of life, and just to like really live life to its fullest.
Yeah, I mean, but outside of that, I think it's that, and then also making sure you're putting the people that you love, surrounding yourself with those people, and always remembering them, because at any point, you never know. And I think it was a heavy, like you said, it was a very heavy week, heavy emotions, but we all need to pat ourselves on the back. Every listener, if you're hearing this across the country, pat yourself on the back, because we all went through a major loss this week, and we did it. We made it through, and life does go on, but we always remember, you know, what that person made, like, left us, the legacy that Kobe Bryant left us, and just anyone else that has passed in your life.
Yeah.
You just remember that.
Yeah, and just be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and don't take anything for granted.
For sure.
By the way, the Lakers game is happening tonight, right after our show.
Really?
Yeah, and there's going to be supposedly a whole presentation at the top of it. Yeah, at like 7:15 p.m. Pacific.
Did not know that. That's beautiful. Well, I don't want to oddly just switch gears like this.
But, you know.
But we do have a show to get into. We have a lot coming up. Very, very excited. You know, Jarryd Hill, he's going to be stopping by and talking to us about all things politics. And
yeah, because we got some impeachment trial updates.
Yes, we do.
But we do have some updates on Ryan's dating life. Question mark.
Well, okay, so last night I went out to a dinner and then to a party for a launch thing. It was like a thing that I had to go to. Well, I come to the realization that I have no clue when anyone is flirting with me at this point. I don't know.
You have no flirt-dar?
No, I do not. I don't know if this guy that I was talking to was like flirting with me. He was giving me the smoldering sexy
eye. Well, then that's it. Like, how much more do you need?
But let me tell you, on a scale of how fine he was, like very attractive, he was like a 45 versus my like 6.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it. At a certain point, Ryan needs to stop. I know, but you keep thinking that it's impossible that anyone in your eyes who you deem as like a big score would be into you.
Hot. He is like hot, hot, hot. And honestly, I don't even know if I want to date somebody that fine, to be quite honest, because of the trouble that comes lurking up in the streets. I don't know if I want that. And I followed him on Instagram. We followed each other, and then he liked basically all of my photos. And then now we're like DMing, but it's all still casual. Like, I don't know what happened. So, yeah, I just feel like I am always going to be single. I really am trying to get out there and go out more.
And whose fault is that?
But I'm trying to do the whole dating thing, but I also don't know if someone's dating, if someone wants to date me. I don't know if someone's flirting with me. No one's up front anymore. We're all playing this weird game. It's so weird.
It's actually not that hard. There's obvious signs.
Shira,
smoldering look, liking pictures, messaging you. How many more hints do you want?
We have different experiences, and I just am not sure. So if you have any tips on how to help me with my flirt-dar, please hit us up at LGT Show or on my own personal social media at The Slay God.
I'm the opposite. I'll flirt with everyone, and then just like it won't go anywhere.
Yeah, see, because you don't know about consent. And what if they don't want you to flirt with them? I don't want to just put myself on someone. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Now let's get into the show.
Dregs.
Since you wanted to bring up my love life.
Well, happy Friday to you too. All right, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. We got some good news. Virginia is advancing LGBTQ rights. Do we have an applause button?
Okay, we do, but you didn't give me any time to set it up.
Well, just press the button.
Okay. Pressing all of them.
The Virginia Senate approved 4 bills that would improve the lives of LGBTQ Virginians. Applause. Okay, we'll wait on that. One bill requires schools to provide the proper ID cards for transgender students and allows them to use the appropriate bathroom. Another bill bans conversion therapy for youth. Another bill eases restrictions for trans residents to change their name and sex on their birth certificates.
So what you're telling me, there are good people in the world and in the South, because isn't Virginia's technically the South, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it is. Yeah, it's considered the South. Wow, she has no clue where Virginia is.
No.
She's like, Virginia?
Google? Alexa, where is Virginia? And then this last bill repeals a statutory ban on same-sex marriage that still exists in the state. So good on Virginia. Thank
Very
you so
good on
much.
Virginia. How about everyone take a lead in Virginia's handbook and do something right?
Yeah. Now, just days before the Iowa caucuses, the former Congressman John Delaney announced that he is ending his bid for the Democratic presidential candidate.
Remember when he announced that everyone was like, what is even happening here? Like, why would you even take your time out to make this formal video when you know you're not going to have any effect on anything that's happening right now?
I didn't actually really realize he was in the race.
Yeah, we reported on it a while ago.
I guess. I forgot. There's been a lot that's happened.
John Delaney, sorry. You are the
biggest loser.
Yes, you are the biggest loser.
He said, it is clear that God has a different purpose for me at this moment in time.
Well,
With his exit, there are just 7 Democrats actively competing for Iowa. Bennett, Gabbard, Patrick, and Bloomberg are focused on other states, on later states. Okay. That's interesting. It's hard to keep up with everyone. There's the few that are at the top, and there's a lot of others.
Well, the Iowa caucus is happening on Monday, so there will be a debate night with Jared Heel happening after Loveline at 9 p.m. I will be on that panel talking all things happening, the early voters in Iowa, seeing the results, talking about kind of what's happening. Should Iowa even be considered a caucus? Should things be changing when it comes to a conversation like that? So, yeah. It's going to be great.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be great. A lot to talk about. Speaking of which, we do have some breaking news coming up next. The Senate has made a decision as to whether or not they will allow witnesses for the impeachment trial. The results and next steps after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we've got some breaking news that pretty much just came out right before our show.
Yeah,
so of course we want to dive into it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so obviously we're in the middle of this impeachment trial, and a big part of it was the witnesses, was calling upon witnesses.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, the last time we talked about this was Mitch McConnell was saying that he didn't have enough votes from the GOP party to actually vote against witnesses. Now it seems like that has changed.
Well, this just in 49 senators, all 47 Democrats and 2 Republicans voted in favor of a motion that would have allowed the chamber to subpoena additional documents and witnesses around Trump's effort to pressure Ukraine to investigate his political rivals like the Bidens. And 51 Republicans voted against it. So, of course, now that's 51 to 49. So basically, the Republicans won, and there will be no witnesses for the impeachment trial.
I just am so pissed about this, and every person in that room, besides what Democrats are doing, it just feels like no one is doing the job for the American people anymore. If they are voting against witnesses, now this has just become what they want. It's very greedy, it's very selfish, and of course, that just fuels why people don't want politics or even want to learn about politics, because they feel like this is what it represents. And guess what? We've proven that.
Crazy.
It makes me very upset.
Well, Jared Hill is with us right now. You know him from, of course, Drop the Subject with Jared Alley, but he is our political contributor right now. Jared, I mean, how do you have a trial without witnesses?
Girl,
I don't get it.
No, I want to point out for people something I thought about earlier today when this whole debate about witnesses. There's been 2 different sides of this argument about what witnesses we should call if we should call witnesses. Democrats have been saying we need to call Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff. We need to call John Bolton, the national security advisor. We need to call like these various different people that were a part of the call or that were part of the administration to tell us what happened. Republicans have been saying we need to call Joe Biden. We need to call Hunter Biden. We need to call Adam Schiff. All people who are completely irrelevant to what happened in the White House, right? And I think it's a clear indication of exactly what was trying to be accomplished by both of these sides. The Republicans came into this impeachment hoping to, like, disparage Democrats, whereas Democrats came into this trying to find out what was going on with this Ukrainian call. And so when Republicans have all of this leeway because they dominate in the Senate with their numbers, this shows us exactly where this was going to end up.
So real quick, I do want to play a clip. It is Schumer. He said something very powerful after finding out the senators voted against a call for witnesses. Here's a clip of what he had to say.
To not allow a witness, a document. No witnesses, no documents in an impeachment trial is a perfidy. It's a grand tragedy, one of the worst tragedies that the Senate has ever overcome. America will remember this day, unfortunately, where the Senate did not live up to its responsibilities, where the Senate turned away from truth and went along with a sham trial. This, if the president is acquitted with no witnesses, no documents, the acquittal will have no value, because Americans will know that this trial was not a real trial. It had no witnesses, no documents. It is a tragedy on a very large scale. I will be now going up to my caucus to discuss what we're doing next.
Yikes.
I think it's important I think it's also important to know, though, conservatives are talking amongst themselves in a very different way than progressives are talking amongst themselves.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch on Fox News, they're like, well, in this impeachment trial, Democrats have called, you know, dozens of witnesses, and they've had all of this testimony, because Democrats have been showing video of the House impeachment proceeding, and which did have witnesses, right? And so Republicans are, especially more specifically Fox News, is positioning this as those have been witnesses, that has been testimony.
Oh, of course.
But that's how they're putting this to their constituency. And to them, they believe that we've had witnesses. We are dealing with two different sets of facts.
But guess what? The real tea is Fox News is actually the biggest threat to America, if you really want to be honest.
I feel like
they are one of those media outlets that are really integrated into, obviously, the Trump administration, but they are really what are putting the narratives out there, and that narrative seems like it has such a strong power than any other media outlet right now, and it's very scary.
They're spreading, obviously, misinformation, and I'm wondering how that, like, I know it's like news entertainment or edutainment, like, they're not even calling themselves news anymore. It's like an information entertainment network or something.
Well, I mean, in their prime time, they say, like, oh, the prime
infotainment.
Time, they say that prime time isn't news, it's talk shows, and I mean, MSNBC says the same thing, but I think that there's a distinction between, like, what's actually happening and what Fox News is saying is happening.
Right.
And I also think it's important to recognize that Republicans are asking us to believe that Donald Trump versus all of these witnesses have been lying. Every single person from the Trump administration.
Every single one.
Every, like, career official.
They're saying they're all lying.
That all of them are lying. And Donald Trump is the one who is being honest and telling the truth and is really sticking to his morals. And
I mean, the lawyers of it all. Like, everyone that is involved in this on the Republican side, they need to be losing their jobs or stepping down, because they are not doing anything for the American people, not even for other conservatives that are just, you know, regular American citizens. They're doing nothing for any of us.
But you can't make them believe that.
Of course.
Yeah,
of
they're
course.
Stuck in this.
But that's cult. That's a cult, right?
Yeah.
That is really what that is.
To some degree, I would say that's probably true. But I think in reality, we have to recognize that there are some American people who are totally okay with this.
Couldn't they all go to jail at a certain point? Isn't this illegal? I mean, that's hilarious.
Ain't nobody going to jail.
I mean, who's gonna charge them?
Donald Trump's about to get acquitted. This is done,
right?
Which is right. So even if more evidence does come out, they can't come back to do anything else, correct?
So that's it.
I mean, the House would have to go through a whole other impeachment process.
So that's a wrap, by the way, basically, on the impeachment trial. Hope you enjoyed the show.
They will seemingly vote to acquit him next week. That's what it seems like.
Awesome.
From earlier today.
All right, well, Jarrett Hill, I know you'll be joining us later on in the show as we also talk about the future of citizenship and if
democracy
is over.
It might be.
That's coming up later in the show.
It's Friday, and it's a very heavy show.
Yes. We're going into What's the Tea, though, next. So what's coming up?
Oh, my God, honey. Coming up, Demi Lovato reveals her coming out story. This is the first time she's ever really talking about it. Can't wait. We got the clip. Don't y'all go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And of course, we got to get into a story that I am so proud of Demi Lovato's comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Her song, Anyone, that she performed at the Grammys for the first time, actually, since she's been back, since she almost died of a drug overdose.
Yeah.
And she's someone that I've grown up with, and I really, really love her just as a person and someone that has been through so many ups and downs. I just really admire her for being so open and honest, and the way she performed her song Anyone, where we talked about on the show, where there was lyrics about I feel stupid when I sing, she went back to drinking. It was just so open. What you know, how she was going through her sobriety.
It was
right?
very vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy how she's on this press tour, of course. She's talking about all things, everything happening with, you know, the song. And she was actually on Radio Andy, Andy Cohen's show on Sirius XM. And we all knew that she described herself as sexually fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And she even is sharing her own coming out story for the first time. And she said, after recently discussing her desire to start a family of her own and being open to doing so with a man or a woman, she is exploring the idea a little bit deeper. Here is that clip of that conversation that went down.
You said at one point within this decade that mm-hmm. you would like to start a family.
Yes.
You said you don't know what that looks like if you see it with a man or a woman. Talk
yes.
to me about that process of figuring that out.
Well, I'm still figuring it out.
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't officially tell my parents that I saw myself ending up with possibly with a woman too until like 2017.
And how did that
so
go?
It was actually like emotional, but really beautiful. And after everything was done, I was like shaking and crying, and I just felt overwhelmed. But I have such incredible parents. They were so supportive. My dad was like, yeah, obviously. I was like, well, okay, Dad.
Right,
like,
right.
And he said,
yeah, obviously?
he said like, hello, cool for the summer. And I was okay, I get it. But my mom was the one that I was like super nervous about. But she was just like, I just want you to be happy. And that was so beautiful and amazing. And I'm, like I said, so grateful. But yeah, I don't know what my future looks like. I don't know if I'm going to have kids this year or in 10 years. I don't know if I'm going to do it with a partner or without.
Yeah.
And honestly, why does she have to make the decision? I hate the idea that, and she goes on later in this clip talking about, well, you know, I'm a woman. I can be independent if I want to.
Yeah.
But I, one, love that we had never heard that story about her interaction with her parents when coming out.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that her dad was like, you basically said it in the song, so I thought that was your moment.
Yeah, we've been around you.
But I do think coming out is already a stress enough once you come out to yourself, but then mm-hmm. when you have to start coming out, I like to describe coming out as an everyday experience. You are coming out to everyone every single day because people want to know.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for her in this situation as she's coming back into this journey where she's being so open and honest about her experiences now. And I really do enjoy it. And I'm just very happy about the place where she's currently at.
Yeah, she's awesome. Definitely an amazing example for all her fans and young women out there who are watching, just to live your truth, but also take care of yourself. Right.
Yes,
and don't let,
yes,
you know, because she was almost gone, right? She almost
died. Yeah.
Killed herself. And so, you know, there's a lot of people dealing with a lot of pain, but she shows what's possible on the other side of that.
And we are going to see her perform the national anthem on Super Bowl Sunday, her second major performance since debuting her single Anyone at the Grammys last week. So can't wait for that. Coming up in What's the Tea, Honey, is Gwyneth Paltrow's company Goop a scam? Well, it's being slammed by one of the UK's top medical leaders, and we're getting into that up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Well, honey, we are back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Story of the Day. And I don't know about you, but if you have not seen Goop on Netflix, it's called The Goop Lab. It's about Gwyneth Paltrow's crazy-ass, weird experimental company that she has. And it's just basically a group of white people that work there and just do weird things.
That's not fair. There's not just white women.
That's true. I didn't say it was white women. I said white people.
Okay.
Well, She feels targeted by white women.
I feel very defensive right now, trying to defend my white women at Goop. No. Goop is... And
that's
some of you
racist.
Might not know.
Yeah.
It's a health and wellness company for women, but it's been known for these ridiculous, very pricey products.
They have vagina scented candles. But basically,
like
Netflix thinks it's so interesting that they are going inside of the company. They are taking some of the employees there, and they're going to actually going out into the field and trying all of these techniques out. I want to play before we get into this conversation about if it is a scam or not. We're going to play the trailer, and I want you guys to just hear about what this show is about. Here it is.
So what happens in a workshop?
Everyone gets off.
What the are you doing to people?
What we try to do with Goop is to explore ideas that may seem out there or too scary.
Are you guys ready to go out in the field and make a ruckus?
Just another day at the office. I had an exorcism.
Oh, wow.
I went through years of therapy in about 5 hours.
I started to feel like a panic attack coming on.
She knew something that my husband didn't even know.
You want to talk about the vulva?
Naked in a room with a bunch of women? I don't know if I have the guts.
You've never seen yourselves?
No.
Come on, Gwyneth. You've never been in a room with a bunch of naked women.
Oh, my God. Either way, let me tell you this. I'm going to even preface it this much. I actually have watched a couple episodes, and I actually really enjoy the show. It's quite hilarious.
Me too.
I texted Shira to watch it immediately.
You turned me on.
It's her brand. But let's go back into this story, because now, basically, this one of the top medical leaders from the National Health Service, Chief Executive Simon Steven, is slamming the show, calling it this. Dubious wellness products and dodgy procedures are showcased in the program, which features the actress exploring alternatives for a healthy lifestyle. He even goes on further and says her brand peddles psychic vampire repellent, says chemical sunscreen is a bad idea, and promotes colonic irrigation and DIY coffee enema machines, despite them carrying considerable risk to health. He goes on to say, and he says, fresh from controversy over jade eggs and unusually scented candles, Goop has just popped up with a new television series in which Gwyneth Paltrow and her team test vampire facials and back a body worker. He said his concerns over myths and misinformation being spread more rapidly now with the internet, which is a breeding ground for hashtag fake news.
Listen, doctor, it's not just them that are unveiling these theories and these, types of exercises that could help you that are alternative. This is a whole movement, man. And so I think they're representing a movement of people. And guess what? If you watch the show, and I really like the show, I don't think they're just saying, like, this is the be-all, end-all. They're saying, this is out there. We're going to try it, and we're going to give you our take. And it doesn't mean some of the people who are doing it are going to necessarily love it or
but
not.
But guess what, Shira? We know you're a fan of these type of alternative things. But guess what? In 2018, Goop actually agreed to pay a settlement of $145,000 after making unscientific claims about the health benefits of vaginal eggs. And actually, Netflix has taken extra precautions to avoid more litigation.
Yeah.
Each episode, of course, opens up with a medical advisory card stating that this series is designed to entertain and inform, and even the company came out with a statement saying it takes efficiency and product claims very serious. And this company is worth $250 million.
Wow. White
people,
Gwyneth.
I mean, I'm telling you, white people really put all their money into something that really don't even make sense. But she says that the company appreciates the NHS's research, but pushes back on Steven's criticism of the sunscreen that they promote. I don't know. I think you should watch it for yourself. Watch the documentary. If you believe in it, you believe in it. Honestly, I like the show. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
But yes, it is a cult, in my opinion.
That is, you should never take anything at face value.
No.
If someone shows you something that might work for them and it is an alternative, do your own research. But you can't tell me that it's not entertaining and that you're not curious.
I don't know, Shira. Either way, if you want to head over to wearechannelq.com, you can check this story out and more. And keep us followed at LGT Show on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. Hashtag let's go there. And then keep us followed on radio.com.
You know, maybe if that doctor had a vagina, he would want to try that vagina.
Okay, get over yourself
just
and
saying.
Tease the next
Coming
segment.
Up, the Super Bowl ad that has many conservatives very angry. We'll be playing it because who knows if it's going to be censored Sunday. Mm. That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, coming up in the next hour, Jarrett Hill is actually going to be joining us.
He's back. He never goes anywhere.
Yeah, talk about America and our democracy and if it's gone officially. Plus, and I don't like teasing too many things, but I got to tease this because it is a tease. Sexual fantasies and what they say about your well-being.
Oh, ooh. God, you're so nasty. Yes. I'm happy it's a Friday show. So Shira can live her best freak flag in life.
Bring it. Okay, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. A Super Bowl ad for Sabra Hummus featuring drag queens has made 1 million moms very angry.
You know, 1 million moms, they need to go, like, sit 1 million, like, their asses in the seat because they are always got something to complain about. They're always trying to do this, and it's just so annoying.
How about 1 million hugs? That could help the world much more.
I don't want to hug 1 million terrible people.
Assuming they have a nice part of them.
What? They don't. They don't.
Well, the socially conservative advocacy group created by the American Family Association has launched a petition to ban this commercial, which it has deemed not family friendly for Sunday night football. Football's biggest night coming up. So here's a little clip, a little teaser.
It's literally just 13 little, seconds.
Ready, Cracker? Chickpeas. I was born ready. I hope this doesn't give me helmet hair.
Yes, that features RuPaul's Drag Races. Kimchi. RuPaul's Drag Races. That's like two S's.
Well, yeah. Well, Drag Race.
RuPaul Drag Races.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kimchi and Ms. Cracker.
Right, and so literally what they're doing here is having a fun moment where Kimchi is trying hummus and Miss Cracker is just putting her helmet on or whatever. It's like a football helmet. My thing is, so people are so upset that there's going to be drag queens on their screen, which I'm not going to lie to you. I love it when middle American people, like basically the ones that are those football fans, it's the middle of America, those Midwesterners, they get so upset when they see anything gay happening on like their time. I rather you, like when Beyonce goes on the, when she went on the Super Bowl and performed with Coldplay and she had her very Black Panther moment. I love ruffling those feathers. So honestly, if you want to make more gay stuff during the Super Bowl, please do.
Of course. Well, and this is also making history because it's the first ad for the Super Bowl to feature multiple drag queens. RuPaul did himself become the first drag performer to be featured during the football game in a spot for WebEx in 2000.
Wow,
2000. I don't even know where WebEx is now.
What is WebEx?
Why don't you Google it?
I don't know.
At the time of this article that we're referencing, which is from advocate.com, the publishing, over 19,000 have signed the petition urging the NFL and Fox, the network airing the game, to ban the ad. But guess what? It's not going to happen. Come on.
No.
In addition to Sabra, the hummus brand, the brands TurboTax, Pop-Tarts, Olay, Doritos, Amazon Alexa will also be running LGBTQ-inclusive Super Bowl ads. So it's a clear sign that it's happening. Get over it. It's here. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Can I move on to the next story? Do I have time?
Yeah, say one more story.
The Colorado baker who refused to design a wedding cake for a gay couple, you know, that led to a landmark Supreme Court ruling.
We talked about it plenty of times here.
Unfortunately made him a conservative hero. He now has a book deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jack Phillips' memoir, it's currently untitled, will be released this summer by Salem Books Publishing. And they're a Christian evangelical imprint of Regnery Publishing.
And they're labeled Salem, which is like Salem Witch Trials, which goes against everything Christian.
Yikes.
That's weird.
They announced the book, and they're calling it a firsthand account of his experience on the front lines of a cultural battle between religious and secular forces.
Oh my God.
So you can expect that very soon.
No, you shouldn't expect that, and you're not going to go buy it if you're listening to this show.
I mean, even if people protested it or went against it for them publishing it, they would still probably keep it because the publisher themselves are...
They're supporting it.
Yeah,
they're supporting what he did. They're supporting every aspect of this story.
Well, we also have the latest on the coronavirus, but we're going to be bringing you that on what's trending in the news in the next hour right here on Let's Go There. So stay tuned. Coming up, as I mentioned, I'm very excited for this one, what your sexual fantasies say about your well-being. Take your notepad out. That's next.
Oh, God, Shira, you have so much to learn.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
What your sexual fantasies and fetishes say about your mental health and well-being. I know it might be on a lot of your minds, or you might not even want to think about it because you try to separate yourself from the things that are behind closed doors.
Well, you know what's quite interesting, Shira? You do a lot of video content outside
of this. I was like, doing what?
And
I thought you were going to be like, doing a lot of video content like I do porn.
Well, you do, but you filmed a video that's going to be coming out soon where you got to try pole dancing, and I feel like that showed something for you about your own, like kind of what your body moved and you felt. And, you know, I do think it's quite interesting.
It was a pole dancing fitness class.
Okay, but either way, pole dancing is a fun hobby, but I do think it's something to be said about the idea about sexual fantasies or just sexuality in general. Mm-hmm. People try to steer away from that because they're afraid to really show their true selves in some way. And then obviously there's a lot of shame when it comes to kink shaming and sex shaming all together. And also there's a layer of stigma when it comes for women feeling sexual. And so I do think there's a nuanced conversation there. It's very layered.
Yeah, well, Stephanie Gerlich is back with us. She is a sex and relationships therapist. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be back.
Yay. Well, you're actually writing a book on this subject. I didn't even realize, anything I think that is in your conscious or subconscious mind impacts your well-being. But why would a fantasy say something about your well-being? Like, how can we correlate those two things?
So as a general rule, I think that most fantasies are totally okay. I think there are some things that might not be practical to do, but for the most part, almost anything is okay to fantasize about. And so where mental health comes into play is, how do we feel about ourselves when we're fantasizing? Yeah. How do our partners react to us when we share that? And then how do we act on those things or not?
That makes sense.
I mean, I even know my last relationship, and there's so much, it's crazy because I feel like my last relationship is really popping back up into my life recently. Mm. And it's not something that I'm looking back at a lot of things that even how I felt about growing up in the South and not even as a young person, not even having the sexual conversation about sex in general, especially for homosexual sex. And so I already looked at sex as something that is like, oh, I have to figure it out. And then I'm too afraid to ask for help because the people around me weren't very helpful or understanding or even accepting of that type of thing either way, like me being gay in general. And so I think that oftentimes, depending on how you've had sex or how you were taught about sex, that can impact if you're open to different fantasies or even talking about it with communications to your partner.
Oh yeah, 100%. Some of the first questions that I ask of the clients that come to see me are, how did you learn about sex? And I ask them about their early exposure to just sexual education, sexual understanding. And then I also ask about their first sexual experiences and how those impacted them emotionally. Were they positive? Were they enjoyable? Were they consensual? And how all of that influences who they are today.
Yeah. And I feel like if you're repressing something or you're creating a lot of shame around it, it might impact you even outside the bedroom, make you possibly aggressive, frustrated, losing patience. Do you find that moving into someone's life, if they're behind the scenes, not allowing themselves to be fully open or accepting of who they are sexually?
Oh, totally. There's a lot of passive-aggressive behavior, a lot of internalized shame that comes out as anger, a lot of reaching out and trying to have healthy relationships, but then lashing out at their partner because they feel like they shouldn't be in that kind of relationship. And so really sitting down with the couple or with the individual and talking about, what messages did you receive around sex? What sort of erotic vocabulary do you have that you're comfortable using in talking to your partner or to me? And how do we unpack that to create a more accepting, less shameful sense of self?
Okay, so now that we're talking about this shame and everything, I want to know, how can you tell the difference between a kink just being a kink versus actually them working through some emotional weight?
So that's a really good question. From a clinical perspective, from the official therapy answer, is that kinks are normal and healthy, accepted part of somebody's sexuality, unless a couple of things are happening.
Okay.
Unless the person is bothered themselves by their kink, or unless their kink is causing problems in their community or in their relationships. So if I have a fetish that I'm so distracted by, I'm watching porn at work and I get fired, that's a problem. Mm. If I have a fetish that I can't engage in consensually, like maybe I want to grope people on the subway, that's a problem. The rule of thumb is, if you're cool with it and you're not doing anything that's damaging yourself or intruding on anybody else, then it's not considered a mental health problem.
It sounds like a sex addiction.
It's just another part of who you are.
Well, it sounds like that the idea of what a sex addiction could be, if it's like impacting your everyday life, then there's most definitely some type of issue there.
So as a sex therapist, I want to push back a little bit on the term sex addiction.
Oh, and I wanted you to. That's why I said it.
Oh, I see.
Awesome.
Would you say more, like, I feel like it's more attachment. I think if you're attached too much to anything, that could possibly not be healthy or a bit dysfunctional.
Yes. In sex therapy, we tend to take a sexual health and a sex empowerment model. Mm. So we'll talk about out-of-control sexual behavior. But we won't call it an addiction. We first of all, we want to respect people enough to hold them accountable for their choices.
Yes.
And second of all, we recognize that the science of addiction doesn't relate to sex and sexuality. Now, people might have compulsive behaviors, which is different than an addiction, but it's a matter of behavior regulation. Are you able to control your behavior, or you have some out-of-control sexual behavior? But I would never, with one of my clients, say that they have an addiction.
Yeah. So just quickly, as we wrap things up, like, tips if someone wants to talk to their partner about a sexual fantasy they want to try, or if they're feeling like something isn't normal, or like, you know, it is impacting who they are as a person and how they present themselves in their daily life, what would you say?
So one of my favorite resources, you're going to laugh, is PORT. I think that if somebody wants to introduce the idea of a new play, a new fetish, something that they want to explore with their partner, that making it something that they can watch or read about together first can be really useful. Instead of saying, I want to do this thing and I'm not sure how you're going to respond to it, I can say, I want to watch this with you and I want to hear what you think.
Mm.
I want to know if you find it hot, and then maybe we can try it. So that can be a safe and comfortable way to sort of broach that subject.
Love it.
If somebody, the second part of your question, if somebody's feeling embarrassed or uncomfortable, or they're worried about something that they fantasize about, then that's a really good time to talk to a sex therapist or another sex affirmative and kink affirming clinician, just to kind of have that conversation and to unpack it all and talk it out and have somebody with the background be able to say, you know, this is something that we need to get you more accepting of in yourself.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you're right. There is something there that maybe we need to do some safety planning around.
All right. Well, Stephanie Garlick, thanks again for being here. You're always great.
Thank you so
much. Appreciate it. Again, Stephanie is a sex and relationships therapist. Now, coming up, is democracy over? We are switching gears. Democracy, American democracy. The report that reveals what we all actually think. That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
There's a new study that is out from the researchers from Cambridge University that is claiming the world is unhappier with democracy than ever before. Well, that's a pretty bold claim to make.
I'm not really shocked by that claim, because if you look at what's happening every single day, you turn on your TV, you're watching the news, it's nothing ever really positive.
Yeah.
And I also feel like that often reflects in what we see in people's moods on via social media and how people are reacting to certain things and what kind of is a domino effect into cancel culture. So I don't know. I'm not really surprised about the kind of the long-lasting effects of results like that.
Yeah. Well, Jarrett Hill is with us again from Drop the Subject with Jarrett and Allie.
He's no longer on Drop the Subject. Right. Actually, today was his last day, but he's still joining us.
I just said you might remember him from that. But now he's officially our political expert and contributor.
Yes.
Okay, so Jarrett, are you surprised about these findings? Because I feel like I look at what's out there right now and it seems like the world is very passionate about what is happening.
The world is very passionate and engaged. I would say at least Americans are, right? And like everyone knows Donald Trump's name. Everyone knows what's going on in the White House and even in our Congress even today. But democracy is on the decline around the world. We've seen that with democracies are falling left and right. And many could argue that ours is as well. So I don't think it's a surprising piece of data to come out because, as I said, we've seen this beginning to happen around the world over the last few years.
But we're supposed to be, and what I think is the reason why America has kind of gotten lazy is because we have been told that we are the center. We are the powerful country. And I do think that it shows that, wow, we must hit some type of point, and I pretty sure the world is viewing us as like, well, if it's that bad for them, mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? Because when you're the pinnacle of something.
I think that's an important point, because realistically, we are a country that aims to spread democracy around the world.
Right.
But then
we're the example,
but like, look at the example that we are. A few hours ago, our Senate decided to not see witnesses in an impeachment trial.
Yeah.
Something that has never happened before. I think the word unprecedented is like really burned out at this point.
Yeah.
Like something unprecedented happens with Donald Trump every single week.
Yeah.
And I think that when we're looking around the world and people are looking at us and wondering like, oh, is that something that we should try? It's like, why the hell would we do that? Because y'all look a mess.
Well, yeah. Is it because there's more corruption than ever before? And I think that in the past, we saw that globally. You know, there would be other countries as examples of that. And they were, what's it called?
A dictatorship?
A dictatorship. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I feel like now, and we would go back to our country and be like, well, we're going to, once again, set that example. But when we have corruption here, then it's going to end up bleeding to the rest of the world as well.
Well, I think if we are an example of what democracy is supposed to look like, if we're the shining city on a hill, as we've been called in the past, I quote this often, Ronald Reagan said when he was inaugurated here as the governor of California that freedom is but one generation away from extinction. Mm-hmm. And like, you can have the issues that you have with Ronald Reagan, because there are many, but like, that statement stands, right?
Yeah.
Like, the idea that this democracy is one generation away from extinction, our freedoms, our progress, all of that stuff is one generation away, and it may not even take that long, right?
Yeah.
We've seen our government in the course of 3 years. Donald Trump has been president for 3 years and 11 days. We've seen our government turn completely different in just that amount of time with the way that the Republicans have latched onto him.
So it's funny, because I've always chuckled at that statement of being the city at the shiny city at the top of the hill, because mm-hmm. if you really look at the roots of what America was, it was never something that was nicely done or looked beautiful on the outside. It may have been presented that way, but in the inside, it was actually a hot ass mess.
Well, I always say, like, there's this interesting dichotomy that happens with the shining city on the hill.
Yeah.
So, like, you are shining if you're up on the hill to the people who are looking up at it. But if you live in said city, you know that there's some BS, right?
Right.
You know that it's a shining city to the white people that live here, and the white men specifically.
It's the Wizard of Oz thing. It's the man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Or the Mona Lisa, where from afar it's really nice. You get up close, you see the cracks.
Exactly.
Wait, Mona Lisa's a beautiful painting, though.
But that's kind of the point, right? Like if you live here in America, and if you're a person of color, if you're a marginalized group, if you're anyone that's not a cishet white man,
right,
you know that this system was not built for you to succeed.
Sorry to ruin your dreams for you about the Mona Lisa right there.
You could never.
Well, coming up, we want to get into, do we have the right to blame the government? We keep saying it's on the government. It's on what has been built that is out of our control. So where do we go from here? And what does the future hold? That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're talking about the study that has come out that reveals the world is unhappier with democracy than ever before. And this isn't the first time we're hearing about this. Even this political theorist at Harvard University, Danielle Allen, she wrote a feature essay in The Atlantic, which talked about how can Americans become citizens again. And she said the informal system of norms and rules that governs our political process has collapsed as the environment has become more fragmented and extreme. At the same time, and this is the quote, the hollowing out of our political institutions has left society disunited, disorganized, and raw.
So, Shira, from the outside looking in, because obviously you've been in America for a very long time.
Yeah. 15 years.
You are Canadian.
Yeah,
you are from Canada. And you're Canadian. What does citizenship mean to you when you're thinking about America altogether?
I think it's being part of society. Like, if you're going to live somewhere, be part of creating opportunities and rights for everyone in that place that you live. So you're proud of where you're from, and it represents your values and your integrity, basically.
Yeah,
is citizenship something that you want?
I think that at this point, I almost have some guilt, and I'm a bit ashamed the fact that I'm not a citizen, and yet I'm living here and living off of this country, mm-hmm. and I'm paying taxes, obviously.
Right, I mean, girl, you don't have to.
And I'm legal, like my green card. But I feel like at a certain point, it's like I actually don't understand people who would live here, and feed off of what the America is giving them and complain about the things that they don't have, and yet they don't want to be part of the process of helping and guiding the process.
Yeah.
And some people might say, like, oh, my opinion doesn't matter, I'm just one person. But as we've seen, like, one vote does make a difference.
Well, you were asking the question before we went to break about whether or not we can blame the government. And I think it's important to recognize, like, the government is of the people.
Like, our taxes pay their salary.
Yeah, but a lot of people feel like it's not really. Like, I think there's a disconnect.
That's the challenge, exactly. So we have this representative democracy as opposed to a direct democracy. Representative democracy meaning we vote for people that go and represent us, as opposed to a direct democracy where we represent ourselves in all of those endeavors. And I think it's important to recognize, like, there is a bit of a disconnect that seems to sometimes, it seems as if that disconnect is growing from time to time when we look at how far apart, even just on, like, on the issues, our Democratic leaders are, as opposed to our Democratic base, as opposed to the Republican leaders and the Republican base and the independents. Like, the leadership always wants something that's way more than the actual base seems to want. Mm-hmm. And so when you ask, like, can we blame the government, like, my friend always says to me, like, we get the government that we deserve. And I think America deserves a president like Donald Trump right now, because America is a country that black and brown people and marginalized groups have always told white people in this country, this is who we are. We are racist. We are disparaging to women. We are homophobic. Like, that is who this country has proven to be, because we can look to our laws and see that, right?
Yeah.
We are a nation that enslaved people until 1856, right?
Yeah.
We are a nation that told women they couldn't vote until the last century. And black people were not even full people. Like, this is a country that was built on these kinds of things. And so that is coming back to roost.
Haunt us almost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, in a much more like 35,000 foot level conversation, like, white supremacy is what got Donald Trump elected.
Oh, for sure.
And white supremacy is what seemingly can bring down this country. But white supremacy is what built this country as well.
Exactly. So it's a full circle moment, I feel like we're seeing. We always talk about history always repeating itself in some form or some way. And I do
until
think,
we learn.
Yeah, but until even when it feels like we have learned, we always find our way back to that same mistake, whether it be it's the message has been lost between generations, or we're not being taught the actual history when we're children.
There are plenty of people.
And by the way, you're Jarrett Hill. Jarrett Hill is his voice. People might be wondering.
Yes.
I didn't do a proper introduction of you.
Yes, but there are plenty of people who feel like, let America fall apart and, like, build it back up, because, like, America is something that was built on these ideas that white cishet men should be in power, and, like, we can look at all of the different ways that shows up even today.
Yeah.
But, like, realistically, this white cishet powerful rich man is what is tearing apart this country right
now.
So
real quick, let's figure out if, let's say, the 2020 elections goes as we all want it. Trump is out of here. We have someone in the office from the Democratic Party that is absolutely amazing and is going to shift this country. Is that going to be what takes us to the moment where we're thinking, oh, there's actually change happening?
The genie's been out of the bottle for 3.5 years, right? So, like, when Donald Trump came down that escalator in June of 2015, like, nothing has been the same since then.
Stairway to hell.
Exactly. I mean, like, things could definitely get better if we have a different president. I would vote for a Democratic president over Donald Trump every day.
I guess, what do we think is going to, like, for us, I mean, it could be personally or just as a whole, as just Americans, what do we think it's actually going to take, like, a tangible thing for us to see something shift? Because we always have these conversations. This is something that we love to have, but my thing is, you know, action without works is, like, basically dead. Or faith without works is dead.
So, first of all, shout out to you and your biblical reference. I see you.
Like, you know.
But also, I think it's important to recognize, like, our democracy, if freedom and democracy are but one generation removed from extinction, we have to also remember that progress is not linear. Progress is something that comes and, like, we take 5 steps forward and 3 steps back and 1 step forward and 2 steps back and then 6 steps forward. And so, like, it's not something that is going to, like, change and be changed forever, because if that were the case, like, Barack Obama would have been a change that came and changed everything forever, but we very clearly saw that was not the case.
Right.
But even now, like, Donald Trump has come and has changed us in a way that we hopefully can bounce back from, but progress is not forever.
And by the way, there's no surprise it's happening not just here in Iran, in Syria,
absolutely,
in Brexit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening everywhere. The collapse of our institutions, in a way, and the citizens fighting that.
I just want us to get back to what, you know, we were all taught at some point is that America is at the epitome or the example. And I actually want that to mean something, because if I think now understanding and being of an adult and understanding what I'm voting for, I look at that statement differently, where I'm like, you know what? It may have never been the actual example, but I do think there's something to be said that I live in a country where I'm not going through what tons of other people are going through. And I don't take that for granted. And I think us being lazy at times and just kind of going with the flow and not taking equality seriously like we should be, are these, you know, things that we're asking for as seriously. It just feels very lazy, but we have this megaphone that we're willing to shout it out into just empty air, but we're not willing to actually put in the work. And I think
it's important to be very clear about who we includes.
Yes.
When we say,
of course.
When we say, yes, we want to make this progress, we want to do this, like, right? There are some people that are not included in that we, yes, that want a very, sure, different outcome. So I think it's important to be specific about who we is.
Well, Jared Hill, on that note, thank you so much again for being here for this discussion. For more, follow him at Jared Hill,
yes,
on Instagram. Coming up, two words in our What's Trending in the News. Ooh. You'll want to hear more about this. Nicki Minaj, uh-oh, and drag. Three words, I guess.
Okay.
That's next.
Good counting.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's What's Trending in the News time, top of the hour. Okay, Nicki Minaj is joining RuPaul's Drag Race as a guest judge to kick off the season 12 premiere. This is big news.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't watch, it is very big news.
I hate that you always call me out.
Yes.
For one,
yes,
I'm a fan, but yes,
of
have
course
I
you're
watched
a fan.
Like
you
every
know some
I haven't
of the
watched all the episodes. No.
It's
I need
okay.
I need help. If
it's
anyone
okay.
wants to binge
We're
watch
not
me,
gonna take people
I'm
back
open.
Down that road. Either way, every first episode of every season, they always have a big star, from Lady Gaga to Miley Cyrus to now Nicki Minaj. I'm very, very excited about this. Cannot
So here's a clip of the trailer.
Drag Race season 12 is here. Wait. Young Money in the house, Miss Nicki Minaj.
Welcome to the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race. I am Nicki Minaj and I pledge allegiance to the drag.
Okay, season 12 debuts on Friday, February 28th. Oh my God. Wait.
Yes, February 28th.
Oh my God,
month.
I'm like, what date is it right now?
Oh my God.
8 p.m. Eastern on VH1. All right. And also, just a heads up, the coronavirus, we know, and we were talking about this, how the World Health Organization declared in a public health emergency of international concern. Well, now Delta, American, and United announced they will temporarily cancel all their mainland China flights in response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Wow.
So that's an update there. If you plan on flying or you have other friends flying, things are changing and happening, so just be careful out there and stay healthy. Coming up, this post is going viral on Reddit. Okay, this guy uninvited his brother to his wedding, and the crazy reason why after this.
Oh, it makes me so upset.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, imagine your sibling or your close friend did this to you. I want to know how you would react. This groom, this husband-to-be, posted this on Reddit.
I can't take you seriously.
This... All right. He's getting ready for his wedding. Imagine.
Okay.
You're getting ready for your wedding. Mm-hmm. And then, in this case, his brother reveals that on the day of this guy's wedding, his brother was going to propose to his girlfriend on the day of the wedding. At the wedding.
I would be so upset. Like, I would be upset. I would be cussing him out. I would disown him as a brother. It is the most... One, I already hate public proposals. Those are really gross. I already hate surprises. Also really gross. And then I also think about the idea on someone special. Now, I actually just saw a video about mm-hmm. this on social media recently of someone. And this was a whole other thing. Well, someone proposed at their friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand. Why would you ever in your third brain think that that was okay?
You are completely upstaging your person, your best friend, the person that's so close to you. How is that love?
I don't know. It really makes me upset. I mean, to me, honestly, I'm actually quite shocked that you're upset. Well, you're not. Well, you are upset because I feel like you're so all love. You would be like so honored by it, well, because you're like, oh my God, they'll be talking about my event forever.
Yeah, like I'm the marriage type. Really, it's happening tomorrow. But it doesn't end there. The story doesn't end there.
Oh, okay.
What he ended up deciding to do and how the parents reacted and what happened after this.
In 3 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're talking about this guy who posted on Reddit, and his post is going viral. He's getting married, and his brother recently sent him a photo of an engagement ring he had just bought. And when he asked when he planned to pop the question, his brother said, I'll probably do it at your wedding. Like, no biggie.
What?
So I was going to continue the story because this it doesn't end there.
This is most definitely like a straight guy type of thinking. Like, he's not even considering how special of a day this is. And, like, their wedding day is also going to be considered their wedding anniversary. And then y'all going to have the same, like wedding, like, engagement anniversary. It's weird. Like, why would you want that to be so close?
Yeah, the groom said he was shocked, assumed it was common knowledge not to propose at someone else's wedding.
Yeah,
and he said his sibling was disrespectful. Then he went a further step by contacting the wedding venue and asking them to remove his brother's name along with his girlfriend's off of the list. So he banned them from the wedding. Then he told the parents and the family, and everyone was furious with him for taking his brother off the guest list. But a lot of people agree with him.
I kind of agree with him too, because how you have to now, at this point, you're on high alert during an already stressful moment. He's the groom is probably stressed out because the wife, you know, the fiance or the bride to be is stressed out over everything. Like, he's like, don't ruin any of this day for
us.
This is not a good idea, bro.
And just respect my thoughts.
To be sure, and you never know, for him to have gone this far, there must have been a moment where the brother had, like, they've had something where they were like, don't do this to me, and the guy has done it regardless.
Yeah.
And so now he's like, well, I have to take this into my own hands to protect myself.
Yeah, and so on Reddit, someone said, your brother is so selfish. Another person wrote, he should tell his brother he's going to ruin his big surprise engagement and tell the girlfriend he's got a ring.
I would be so pissed. I would be honestly probably ready to fight type situation. It would be like that, because my thing is, I don't condone violence, but I do think you would be in your moment, and that's why I just wouldn't even wonder if, you know, the brother's girlfriends whoever that person, their partner that he's going to propose to, I wonder would they even be, they would probably be upset with him for doing it at that.
Imagine it was during the speech.
Oh.
Like his speech for the wedding. But, you know, this moment is making me really inspired for my own love.
I mean, that's legit narcissistic, don't you think? Those are some narcissistic. Like, let's really picture this year. Once, you know, whenever you get married, what if I, my partner are like, what if I decided, oh, I'm actually going to do my proposal at your wedding?
You're using all the money I spent on me for you, and well, I feel like it's your moment.
I mean, because I'm already going to be stealing all of the attention.
What a mooch. What a mooch.
No, seriously, it's not okay. It is not okay.
All right. Well, yeah, that's what went down. We haven't gotten an update. There's no update as to what actually happened next, but don't do that. That's just some advice. Don't try this with anyone in your life, please. And if someone tries it on you, then throw them to the curb.
Oh, really good advice, Shira. I'm actually really surprised that you are actually in agreement with this. I thought you were going to be on the other side, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, I think if it makes you uncomfortable, they should respect that. It's like a lot. It is a lot.
To ban the brother? What's a lot?
No, I don't think I would ban someone. You know me.
You wouldn't ban them?
All right, do you want my real talk?
Well, duh, that's what this whole entire talk break is supposed to be for.
I'm now thinking about it. I'm feeling into this one.
Okay, all right.
And my feeling is you would regret it. You would regret banning a sibling, a family member in
really?
The future. God forbid.
What if they weren't that close in the first place?
They're obviously...
Not. They're obviously not that close.
This is a hard one. This is a hard one, but I'm wondering if you should be the bigger person.
But when has it ever become a moment where you don't have to be the bigger person? I don't believe in I really genuinely do not believe that you always have to be the bigger person. Sometimes you are allowed to be upset and to be petty, especially when it's on days that you are paying for and that are surrounded by you and the love that you have for your partner. Like any type of birthdays, holidays, and weddings. You should not be planning anything if there's something special happening around that is like someone close to you. I mean, this even goes for friends. Like, friends should not be proposing at other friends' weddings. Like, that's honestly tacky.
Unless they're so drunk that they do it.
No.
And then it's your fault because you provided them with a bunch of shots.
And I honestly would hope that that person would have been told no in front of everybody. That's how vindictive I am in that sense. I'm like, no.
You're definitely the evil one, and
no, but you need to be taught a
lesson.
Don't you need to be taught a lesson? Any child that, you know, they always have to learn. Children have to learn when you, like, you touch the hot stove, guess what? You won't touch it again because it's hot. You running around the living room, guess what? You hit your head on the little coffee table, guess what? You won't be doing that again with your bad ass. You won't do that.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying. Some people got to be taught lessons.
Yeah, I know how you were taught some lessons when you were a child.
What? Not by putting my hands on stoves. Great. She was thinking I went through some, like, abusive childhood.
Everything is okay, Ryan. It explains a lot, actually. All right, coming up, we are going to be giving you our Yaz Queen of the Day. This one is so... Speaking of children, this one involves a child who's going viral on Instagram for reviewing drinks, okay?
Okay.
Reviewing... What are those drinks? Okay. Yes.
Oh, the Shirley Temples.
All right. This guy, and we're going to be playing a clip of this little kid reviewing his Shirley Temples.
Okay.
You have it.
Okay.
And it's the cutest thing ever. It's definitely on our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Okay.
That and more coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We are back with our Yaz Queen of the Day, wrapping things up this Friday. Where's our Yaz Queen? All right. This one goes out to someone who is so adorable and deserves all the attention that he's getting. He's only 6 years old. He's called the Shirley Temple King.
Oh, my God. I don't know why you want, like, really love this.
Because it's just, like, a nice thing to end on. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening that's, like, heavy and dark. And I just think this will bring a smile to your face.
Of course it'll bring a smile to our face.
And it's so cute. It's very inspiring.
It really will.
Can you play the clip?
We're the Shirley Temple King, and I'm at Hoodoo Brown Barbecue. I wish you could smell how good it is in here. But anyways, I'm here to try their version of a Shirley Temple. And as you can see, there's cherries on the outside and inside, and there's an American flag, USA. So anyways, I'm going to try their version of Shirley Temple. Cherries on the inside, cherries on the outside, flag decoration. There's really nothing to say because it's just a great Shirley Temple. I'm going to give it a 9.5.
So he's doing reviews of Shirley Temples. And it's going viral. He has, like, over 140,000 followers on Instagram.
I know. He's, like, perfect, and he's the cutest little thing. I can't even deal with it.
I mean, that's where it starts. Career starting out at 6 years old.
It sure does.
I mean, he's going to get sponsorships and everything. By the time he's our age, he's going to own a Shirley Temple company. All right. Well, that does it for today's show.
Yes, it does.
Right? And
yes,
that
does.
Was our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Should I also give a shout out to someone else or no?
Well, we have to do our individual shout outs, right? So my Yes Queen goes out.
I thought that was mine, but I guess it was yours too because you did give me.
Yeah, I did give that to you.
I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Ryan did originally share that with me on a text thread that I forgot that he originally shared.
And she thought
it with
she
me.
Came up with it, just, but okay.
You know, it
all happens. Right. My Yes Queen actually goes to shout out to the one and only Jared Hill. It's his last day here at Channel
yeah.
Q. He will be back in around all the time, like, of course, covering all of this stuff that's happening in politics, the 2020 elections. Of course, Monday night, we have debate night at late night. But I just wanted to say yes, Queen, to him for being such an amazing person, from coming in as a correspondent to landing his own show with Ali. It was absolutely amazing. He fit right into this family.
Yeah.
He will always be family.
We love him.
I am obsessed with him. I love him.
Yes, I am too. Love you, Jarrett. You're always welcome back. And we appreciate you. I'm giving a Yaz Queen to Billy Porter, Sesame Street, because they just announced that Billy Porter is going to appear on an episode coming up. So isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And I actually saw something about people were protesting it, of course. You know, them 1 million
moms. Yeah, I didn't want to put focus on, or emphasis on them.
No, I'm just saying, but people are still terrible, and I think it's going to be amazing for queer youth or trans youth to see Billy Porter being his authentic self on Sesame Street. I mean, I love that, and I love that Sesame Street is inviting him on. Yeah, this is brilliant.
Sesame Street on Facebook posted this picture of him in his iconic tux dress in front of the Sesame Street sign. So there you go. Expect more Billy Porter on that show. And the show has not said when the episode will air. But he's doing amazingly, and we love to see that. So that does it for our Yaz Queens of the Week.
It sure does.
But we'll be back on Monday. We've got a big week coming up. We'll be covering what the virality of hashtag Girl Dad says about the state of American fatherhood. Because this whole thing has impacted everyone. And it's incredible to see fathers and children coming together as well in this, and just men saying I love you to each other, and acknowledge the person you love in your life.
Yes,
this
you
weekend
have to.
Don't forget to pick up that phone and just say I love you. If you haven't said that in a long time, please say it to the person that deserves to hear
it's
in your life.
It's very true.
Plus, we're going to be getting into why we are hardwired to dismiss facts that don't fit our worldview. That's on Monday's show. Let's go there with Sharon Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, you better remember to slay.
And of course, keep it right here on Channel Q, because we've got some awesome music this Friday night from DJ Lisa Pittman and DJ Alex D.